All right. So Pastor Bob Isabel has been in ministry many, many years, and I really appreciate him. And I just encourage you, open your heart really wide to the word that he brings today. Pastor Bob, God bless you. Give him a warm welcome, please.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. Amen. All righty. What an honor it is to be with you. My first time. Now, where am I at? Governor?
Governor?
Governor. Governor. Anyway, it's my first time to be here. And I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah. It's been 8 or 9 years ago, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, you get a little older, you forget about that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's been a while since I've been here. But the last time we were here, we stayed in your home, and they honored us and blessed us. And they had 5 little boys. Jeez. They grew up. They're not so little. One time I was bigger than you. I was taller than you at one time. Anyway, and before we left, the Lord had just put it on my heart. So I gave each of them a $10 bill. And I had no idea in that time how much I was planting. Nah, by the way, I'm a weeper. So if I cry, you just got to put up with me. You got to live with it. I weep, and my wife says, well, now you know how I feel. So, okay, dear. I was planning in my future and didn't realize how much. These boys bless my life more than they know, because they're good soil. And what you sow, what? You reap. And I have reaped over and over again. You never know. If I had some money, I'd give it to you today. So that was the goodness of God in my life. So thanks, guys, for letting me do that. I remember you had some kind of a lamb or something that was having issues when I was back there.
Probably.
You ever talking about some kind of sheep or some lamb or something? Anyway. Does that sound like it? Oh, well. Anyway, I'm pushing 70. I know I don't look like it. I know that. just about a month, I'm going to be 70 years old. I can hardly imagine that. I mean, just yesterday, you know, I met my wife and got married, and just yesterday I had my kids. 70. Whew. Well, I like 70. It's good. 75 is looking even better. I mean, I'm getting there. In a couple more months after that, I'll be married 50 years. And, yeah, you know, and that's God's blessing on our lives, isn't it? If you can do it now, it gets better every year. Trust me, it gets better every year. If you do it right. If you do it right. Anyway, just an honor to be with you guys and be here. I want to share some things with you. What I'm about to share comes out of the experience that I have had to live through. And I want to tell you, God's faithful. Come on, say, God's faithful. I want to tell you he is. And so I'm only going to get my introduction done today. That's about as far as we can get with this thing. But I think I have about 24, 25 pages of notes. No, stay here. Stay. I'm not going to do it all day. I'm not going to do it all right now. Yeah, well, we had the time, huh? We just keep this thing going. I'm tired. I don't know if I can go that far. But anyway, this is probably about a 3 to 4 week series I did when I was pastoring. But it came out of the need and the frustration and the lack that we had to walk through. My wife and I, probably more me than my wife, if I were listening to my wife. See, you got to learn to listen to your wife. It's, you know, I bought this house. She said, I'm not sure. And I said, oh, I'm sure. This will be great. Okay. Well, back in the day, before the economy went upside down, I had a man that was a great friend of mine. He was a real estate man and they do the money, mortgaging and things. And boy, things were booming back then. I mean, they were booming. He was making money right and left, and he's all this land. He's telling me about his 23, 24-year-old son, something like that, had made $1 million already, a 24-year-old kid, and I'm in my 60s. I don't have $1 million, but they did it in all his land stuff, see? So they're talking to me, sounds good. Let's try. Well, the mistake I made is I bought a house before I sold a house. Should have sold the one I was in first. I learned a lesson. Trust me. But what I didn't know when I bought the house I bought, that within a month, everything was going to go upside down. The economy was going to bottom out. Didn't know that. There was a man in our area who builds million-dollar-plus homes. Everything he sells is $1 million and up. And he had, at that point, I think it was 11, he told me, 11 houses, and he was hurting real bad. And so he had to get rid of a few of them, and he had marked this house down, was down 900-some thousand, that was down to 700-some thousand when we looked at it. Now, why they ever showed it to me, I don't know, because I can't buy a 700,000. I can't afford that, you know. But we walked through this place. It was really nice, you know, view and everything. But I can't afford that. And so we left, and my real estate person gets a call from this guy. He says, look, I got to get rid of some homes. Tell him to make an offer, even if it's ridiculous. Well, I guess I wasn't ridiculous enough. So I made him a little over $600,000 offering. Because in my mind, the home I had bought was like $280,000, and we'd been there a number of years. It was growing. Now it's worth between $550,000 and $600,000. And at that point, I only owed about $130,000 on my home. Now, you figure this out in your mind. So we borrowed a couple hundred thousand out of it. So, well, we could do this, put it down on this house, and when I sell the house, put it down, and I'll have a $1 million home that I can one day sell, nest egg, take care of my wife, and I'm in it for whatever I was in the other house. That's the way I'm thinking. That's not bad. So we made the deal. Within a month, the economy went upside down. Everything started to bottom out. I couldn't sell my house. Well, the old house was it really was a nice home. I'm back in it now, so it's nice enough. And I owed about $1,300, $1,400 a month payment on the house. Plus, I got a new house that I owe about $1,500 a month on. And for 2 years, I'm making $3,000 a month payments. We had saved all of our life and put money away in the bank and in our checking account because, you know, we're thinking retirement and all that. And in 2 years, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's just eating it up. I'm losing my shirt. And finally, we had to walk out of a $1 million house. I had to give it up. I went back to the other, and it was not like it's real bad because we really have a nice home. He says, that was a $1 million home, you know. When it was all said and done, in our savings, retirement, everything, we tried to figure it out, and I dropped somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000, and that's more than I could bear. That was everything. I quit counting. I don't think I'd get beyond $800,000. I don't know how to count that big, you know. And it's all gone. So we're stuck. This is birthed out of what I'm telling you. This came out of that. The Lord began to deal with us. He says, there's two things you don't know that you need to know. Now, I'm a pastor. I've pastored for a number of years. But I really didn't understand faith like I should. And I didn't understand prosperity. Now, I hope nobody gets uptight with this. And I'm not trying to be offensive. Today, I don't have a problem with money. I want you to know that. I don't have all that background thing. But did you know that money is almost the number one subject talked about in the scripture? Yeah. If you were to take the scriptures and lay them out, I think it's every 8 to 10 verses or so, something is said about money, good, bad, or what, indifferent. It's all there. So God doesn't have a problem with money. Come on. My pastor used to say, you know how to spell ministry, don't you? M-O-N-E-Y. It costs to build a church. It costs, to get the gospel. It costs. So God has no problem with money. We were learning then to put money aside, sow seed, do the right thing. Bam, this has hit me. And I ended up in your house with your boys. I didn't know then how desperate it was going to be. I didn't know. But I knew I needed to sow some seed. And it wasn't a lot in those days. But $10 back then. I don't know what you did with it. Maybe got some gum or something. I'm just teasing. If it was me, I'd have bought some 22 shells or something. You never know. And I sowed into their lives. And those were my beginning days. That's why I'm glad you're here. And we've learned over the years, there's only one way you get out of debt. If you're thinking right and you're doing it right, and only one way you get out of financial trouble, you got to sow. Because that's the Bible principle. Now listen to me. Whatever a man or woman sows, What? That's okay, he's going to reap what he sows. It doesn't say if you sow, you'll get something like it. Right? You get what you sow. I've had people argue with me, say, well, you can't sow money and say, well, God, give me money. I mean, God doesn't operate that. Well, he does. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. All the years of my life growing up, my dad planted a garden, taught me how to plant. All the years of my life, not one time did he ever plant a garden and say, now, son, listen to me. What I did is I planted some potatoes right here, but if we get carrots, it's okay. If potatoes or radishes, it's okay. No. If you planted potatoes, we got potatoes, right? Now, this is how the kingdom of God works. So we had so much to learn. Now, I came from the camp where you didn't talk about money. You had to be careful. It's offensive to some people. And so I had some serious breakthroughs in my life that I had to make. That's why I can talk now with courage and without saying I'm sorry. I don't try to offend people, but I'm living proof that the Bible works. It works. So for 8 years, now listen to me, for over 8 years now, I've not had an income where I draw a salary from a church because I don't have a church anymore. I don't work for somebody and every 2 weeks or a month I get a paycheck. My money comes from the fact that what a man sows, he reaps. On the average, if my wife were here, she'd tell you this. On the average, we sow about $300 to $500 every month and sometimes upwards to $1,000. I have to plant. That's my job. But my job is to sow seed. Because I have learned that the more seed I have in the ground, the more harvest. Is that true? If you plant one seed, you get one stalk. But if you plant a lot, and you keep planting. Now, I got to get to this thing, but I got a couple of extra minutes here, right? Okay. Maybe that box of Kleenex. I'm going to need it. I can feel it already. Remember, I'm a weeper. Now you know how I feel. Yes, dear, I know how you feel. I'm just right here is good. Hey, I'm not making fun of my wife. She tells me, don't worry about it, honey. That's just the way God made you. It's okay. Amen. I'm glad he made me that way. Jesus, yeah, he's going to keep you. When you walk through seasons like this, it's either going to make you or it's going to break you. So the Lord began to deal with me, and I want to give you a couple of principles, and I'm going to jump on this. Jesus said to the disciples, you want to know what the kingdom of God's like? You know how it works? Listen, the man went out and he sowed seed. Now, you'll find this in the book of Mark. He sowed seed into the ground. And day and night, the seed's in the ground. And he doesn't know how it's working or what's going on. But something's happening. And the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First, the little blade. Then the stalk. And then the ear and the stalk. And he gets a harvest. Now, it's in the Bible, right? How many know that scripture? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, right? Can you listen to me? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, right? Seed time and harvest. Now, it's the time to get you. It's good to put seed in the ground, and it's wonderful to get a harvest, but you got to live through time. You don't know what's taking place under that ground and that dirt. You don't know. The farmer doesn't go out there. Did it die? Is it growing again? Is it doing its thing? Are there roots down? He dig it up. Look. He doesn't do that. He knows that if he puts seed in the soil, it's going to respond. Time. So once you sow your seed, then the enemy comes along and says, you think it really works? Think our guy's telling you the truth? You see anything coming up yet? And you got to go through this time thing of questioning, did I do the right thing? The Bible says the earth brings forth fruit of herself. Now catch this. You look it up, see if I'm telling you the truth. The word herself in the Bible, in our language, you get the word automatic or automatically. That's the word automatic or automatically. But it says herself. Now you can prove me by reading this yourself. Now listen to me. When God created the heavens and the earth, he had a talk with dirt. It's true. Dirt doesn't have a choice. It doesn't. He engineered it so that when seed goes into the soil, the dirt can't say, well, I don't want that seed. It has to make the seed grow. It has to. Automatically. That's how God fixed it, right? Now listen to me. Look at somebody real quick and say, I'm a piece of dirt. Because it's a fact. When we die, we stand at the graveside, say ashes to ashes, what? Dust to dust, dirt to dirt, right? We're going back to the soil from where we came. Now listen to me. God plants seed in the dirt. Everybody sitting in this room has seed. You may not know it. Somebody was saying, I didn't find myself until whenever, and you know, but you got to find yourself sooner or later. That somewhere wrapped up in your soul, your spirit, is seed. Could be music, talent to do something out, whatever. Could be whatever. You've got to let that seed grow. Now, these are things you learn as you go on with this thing. Okay, I want to talk about living the life of favor. Living the life of favor. Let me give you a scripture here. Many more things I want to tell you, but I'm going to get too far down the trail and I won't get myself back here. So Psalms 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise. Now, you said it earlier. You're going to love Bob, right?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you say that?
I did say
that. Okay, I'm Bob. Okay, you're going to love Bob, right?
Amen.
What about Bob? No, I don't like that movie. No, you're going to love Bob. Okay. Psalms 102, 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion. Now, Zion is a type of church. Now, the church is more than this building. We pulled up this great little building. What a great spot. But it's more than this wooden building. Come on. You're the church. All right. Now, listen. For the set time. Say, set time.
Set time.
To favor. Say, favor. Okay, you're going to have mercy on Zion. Set time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. God has an eternal calendar. And somewhere on the calendar of God, he set a time to favor the church. To favor you, this church, whether you know it or not, comes under the favor of God. You are favored by the Lord. Now, you may not understand that yet. Maybe you got some proving time. Maybe you don't even agree with it yet. Doesn't matter whether you do or not. On his calendar, he set a time. Some of you need to get into that time. Some of you need that favor and you need to see it and live in it. I'm there. I know it's there. A calendar, and God has you on that calendar. Psalms 5, verse 11 and 12. Let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy. Are you a shouting church?
Yeah.
Do you mind shouting once in a while? If you listen, as the Bible said, let them shout for joy.
Amen.
Because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful.
Amen.
Two times he's telling you what to do. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. How many righteous people we got here? Man, it's time to shout. Me, Lord. Me, O God. I'm ready to be blessed. Favor. Once you repeat after me, look at somebody, or you don't have to. Maybe just look at me. I know it's always harder. You ever do? Now, let's sing to it. You're going to sing to somebody, you're feeling about as dumb as you can get. I don't know. Don't look at anybody. Just repeat after me. Say, this is my life of favor.
This is my life of favor.
I have so much favor from God.
I have so much favor from
God. I'm surrounded by it.
Surrounded by it.
I can't get away from favor.
I can't get away from favor.
Wherever I go,
favor follows me.
It's not problems.
Not
come on.
Not problems.
It's not discouragement. It's not disease. It's not lack. But it's favor that follows me. Listen, David learned this. Let me tell you what David said. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And some people, when you talk to them, they just had a rough week. The devil's after maybe where they go. Oh, he's sick. Oh, yeah, and we can't get our bills. And so, oh, look out, look out. He's following me. Where I go? That's not even Bible. That's not Bible. Surely goodness and mercy. Why? Because we're favored. Come on, say favored. There was an angel one day that showed up to a young lady about 16, 17 years old and made this announcement. And the angel came to Mary and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Come on, say highly favored. You are highly favored, Mary, and the Lord is with you. A little later on, it says, You have found favor in the sight of God, Mary. The thing about Mary that I appreciate, what she didn't say, first of all, was, now listen, I'm old enough to know it don't work that way. You got to know some guy. You got to sort of be married, don't you? I mean, this is how and besides, I'm just a kid. How can it be that way? She didn't say that. But when the angel spoke to her and said, you're favored, she said, you know what? Be it unto me according to your word. If you look up the meaning of those verses, you know what she's saying? And what you just said, now I can't do this on my own, angel, but what you said is a creative word. Create in me according to the word of God. I can't do it, but you can. Favor. Be it unto me. Well, I'm asking that Mary's spirit comes on this house and comes on you. And tonight and tomorrow and wherever you go, be it unto me. I'm favored. Let me have it, Lord. If you got to go home and write this down and put it somewhere, write it down. Remind yourself, I'm favored. Come on again. Favor. Maybe by the time we're done here, you'll understand. You'll get it. Now, remember, this is born out of a whole lot of loss. And walking through some things, I would to God, nobody here has ever walked through. A way to remind yourself and to keep yourself aware of the favor of God is every time a victory comes into your life, a blessing, God shows up to do something, you got a physical touch. Something shows up in the mail, a contract you didn't think, somehow you get something you didn't think you were going to get. You say, that's favor. Now listen to me, we're not into luck around here. That's right. Boy, did I ever luck out. No, you didn't luck out.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, you were favored. You were blessed, surely goodness and mercy. Amen. Luck follows me everywhere. A little bit of luck here, a little bit of luck. No! Favor. Favor, favor, favor.
Amen.
I said this morning, I want to say it again. Three kinds of people in the church. Believers, unbelievers, and unbelieving believers. As God is my witness, there are people who argue with me to this day over biblical. I heard of a man one time, a friend of mine was talking to him. He said, well, the Bible says, he said, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't believe it. What? I don't care what the Bible, I don't believe that. Oh, you believe more than that? What's wrong with you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
There are people that will not accept the word of God, and yet it's here. All right. If you look back over your life, in different times in your life when God showed up, maybe you should have died. I don't know. Maybe it was a close accident. Maybe. But it didn't happen because you got favor. God did something. Your kids walked away, but they came back. I mean, we could go on and on with all kinds of things. I want to tell you, it's called favor. I want to give you five things. Five things, five meanings to the word favor. So I hope you take these down. When God favors you, these five things come into play. Number one. The favor of God means the release of God's supernatural influence to work for you. Now, that's favor. Come on. The release of God's supernatural influence to work for you. I want to tell you that God's favor can influence you, can influence situations, can influence people around you. God favors you. You may have been working on that job a long time. You should have had that position. You should have had a raise. You didn't get it. But when the favor of God comes on you. I was in a church in the state of Washington, and we were doing this presbytery. We'll be doing that here in a few days. And this young couple was sitting there, and we were prophesying and blessing them. Before I sat down, I said to him, I said, listen, you never know. You could go to work one day and work there, but the next day you could own the business. You never know that. I was under an influence. I didn't realize how much. And I went and sat down. Little did I know that the man who owned the business was in that auditorium that day. Well, he was an entrepreneur. He was a business starter. He loved to start business. But once the business was doing well, he got bored with it. He needed a challenge, and so he'd start another business. Well, he had a business that was doing really well. Now, I didn't know this for a couple of years because it was a few years before I went back. But when I went back to the church, they came to tell me. He had this business. It was flourishing. He was getting bored. He was wondering what to do. Then he remembered. He heard a word over a young couple in that church. And he went to that young man because he had integrity, character. He showed up on time. He was there all the time. And he said to him, I remember what God said. And I'm going to get rid of this business. Slipped a piece of paper across the desk. He said, I want you to sign that because tomorrow you own the business.
and gave him the business. It's a true story. One day you work there, the next day you may own it. Don't tell me God can't do something in one day's time. Just ask Israel, overnight. Amen. He blessed them, paid them 400 years of lack and weren't getting paid and being robbed. And overnight, one day. Come on, say favor. Favor, supernatural endorsement. God sends you out to do something. If his word's on it, trust me, God's will, God's bill, you've heard it. He pays, he blesses, he does. The word endorsement means this: you're approved of, you're sent, you got the check and it's signed. That's what it means. God signs his checks. He doesn't say it's in the mail. He doesn't mean it. Listen to me. If God said it, he's going to do it. Amen. Told the story about the old farmer who sold a cow to this guy. He wrote out a check and gave it to the farmer, and the farmer had that check. Guy took the cow. Well, the next day he goes down to his bank, and he's going to cash the check. And the man looks at it and says, you got to sign that. Farmer says, I'm not going to sign that. No, you got to sign the check. Well, I'm not going to sign it. I don't want to put my... If you don't sign the check, I can't give you... No, I'm not going to sign it. So this argument. So he finally picked up his check and walked out. Went to the next bank. Went in. The teller, he's here, hands him the check. The guy says, you got to sign it. Oh, wait a minute. He said, I'm not going to sign that check. Well, you got to sign it. No, I'm not going to sign it. Reaches through the bars, grabs the guy, jerks him up against the bar, rattles him around a little bit. He said, now sign the check. The guy got his pen out and he signed it. And he gave him the money. Went back to the other bank and showed him all the money. They said, he said, how did you do that? He said, they explained it to me over there. Sometimes a little explanation goes a long way, doesn't it? Are you with me? It's like the guy driving down the street. Why am I getting all these dumb stories? One more. Driving down the street. He's looking at the squirrel running out of this tree. And the moment he gets to the tree, bam, the squirrel runs right out in front of him, runs right over the squirrel. Looks in his mirror, and there's a little ball of fur laying in the middle of the road. Oh, he pulls over the side of the road, and he goes over to look at the squirrel. Oh, man. He reaches down to see what he can. Squirrel jumps up and bites him on the finger. He says, I was just trying to help you. I'm here to help today. Come on. Sign the check. Endorsement. Calendars, favor, blessing on you. I say, I'm favored. Missionary, his true story. Every time he came home on furlough, there was a man in their church who had a business that did really well. And every year he'd write him out a nice check for his missionary work. This year he came home, business was down, things were a little bit rough. But he went to see the guy, and the guy takes a check, $25,000, hands it to the missionary. While the missionary is looking to him and thanking him for it, in comes his bookkeeper. Leans down and whispers in his ear, and he walks out. The man said, sir, he said, give me the check back, will you? Well, he's thinking in his heart, you know they're having hard times. I understand. He says to the man, listen, it's okay. You don't have to do this. You've done it every. He said, no, don't worry about it. Gets the checkbook, writes a $50,000 check, and hands it to him. And he looks at it. He said, what did you do? He said, I need the favor of God in my life and my business. Favor. You don't know when God's going to show up and do something you didn't expect. Why? Because you got favor. Say, I'm favored. Amen. Number two, God's favor means you have supernatural assistance in everything you do. Not some things. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everything you do, everywhere you go. Amen. Come on, you got favor on your life. When I laid down to sleep at night, I got favor. I was in a church, and we were prophesying over this couple. And God spoke to me about their home. And I'm prophesying about this beautiful home and how God's taking. Now, favor, you don't have to be there, but God's favor's there. And just blessing them. They went home to find out that their TV had caught on fire. And it burnt the TV, it burned up the wall, and it got into the ceiling. And for whatever reason, it went out. Shouldn't have gone out, but it did. And so when they went home, they saw their TV was shot, charred wall. They came out and looked it over. There's no problem, no fire, you're okay. He came back the next day to tell us, when you were prophesying about the blessing on our home, I just believe God went and put the fire out in that moment and salvaged your home. Why? Because he had favor. Everything you own, is favored by God. I'm favored. I don't know about you, but I'm favored. Supernatural assistance. That means you have assistance in raising your family and loving your children and building your business on your accounts. You have favor. Oh, if you've been abused, you've been hurt, somebody's stolen from you, favor. Come on, favor. There's so much here, but for time's sake, we just got to keep moving here. Let me tell you this. Many years ago, there was a man born in 1840-something, lived till 32. So he lived a long time. His name was Tom Hesmohol. He was a man of faith. I mean, this guy had faith. God told him to do something, he did it. Well, he got filled with the Holy Spirit before the Azusa Street thing. He didn't know what he had. He didn't know what was going on. He felt a little bit awkward. He didn't know too many people that had it. When he heard it was happening, he went down to Azusa Street to see what was going on, hear the message. William Seymour is talking about it. He got so excited, he couldn't believe. He said, I've had it. I've had it for a year. I didn't even know what I had. I mean, this kind of guy he was. One of my spiritual fathers, who's with Jesus today, this man lived in Brother Shock's house before he passed away. But God spoke to him and said, now listen, Tom, I want you to go to South Africa. I want you to take these people, gave him a list of 13 names, and you go there and you take the Pentecostal message to South Africa. And he said, Lord, I don't have the money. How can I do that? And in the moment he said that, he had a vision. And two hands came down out of heaven. He saw it in the sky. And in these hands were these long, big bags with the money sign on it. And while he's looking at it, boom, the bottoms burst open. And money and dollars and gold just he's fallen and fallen. And it looks like the bag's going nowhere. It's not getting any thinner. And God speaks and said, Tom, besides that, there's more. There's more. Okay, Lord, went straight to the steamship. It wasn't planes then. You had to go to the steamship. And went down there. There's a man in front of him doing business. He's gone. He goes up and he leans on the counter. And he says, I need 13 passages. Slips the note through to South Africa. The guy said, all right. Goes around. He's filling all the paperwork. Got to get tickets. While he's leaning there and they're doing the work, an envelope slips under his arm. He doesn't grab it. He doesn't do anything. He just, God said, besides that, there's more. Favor. So the guy comes home and says, it's going to be so much. Pulls the envelope out, hands it to the guy, opens it up, counts it to the dollar. It was all there. Bought the tickets. Before he left, he said, can I ask you something? He said, did you see who was the person behind me? The guy said, behind you. Well, I don't understand. No, somebody came up behind me, slipped this envelope under. You know, did you see who that was? They said, sir, all morning, there's only been two people in this building, the guy ahead of you and you. Are you sure? He said, I'm sure. To the day he died, he said, the angel of the Lord came, I believe it, and slipped that under his arm. And he got to South Africa. But the problem was, South Africa is Dutch Reform. They don't want Pentecostal message. They don't want this stuff over there. Don't come and mess us up with your Pentecostal message. By the way, I'm a mess, because I'm Pentecostal, if you haven't figured it out. And so the word is, when they get here, don't open anything up to them. Don't help them. In any way, we don't want the message. Maybe they'll get it and go home. And of course, it shows up. They can't find a place to stay. Tom and his wife, they find these bungalows, dirty, rat-infested, beat-up bungalows. They spend one night there. The rats are into everything. His wife says the next day, Tom, you get me out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want out of this place. All these rats. He said, Mama, let's pray for a hungry cat. She said, I want out of here. A little bit later, they heard, meow. It's a true story. Opens the door, and there's a mangy, skinny cat. Its tail's broken in two or three places. And Tom reaches down. He pets this cat, and everywhere he's touching it, healing is coming to the mange. Takes his hand and runs up that tail. Snap, snap, snap. And the tail's straight and in good shape. Lets it in the house. He cleaned every rat out of that house. He said, it's the best cat we ever owned. Beautiful cat. Now he's got a place to stay, but he can't preach. Nobody wants him. This is all written down. This just really happened. He's on a trolley in South Africa. It's cobblestone roads. They're going somewhere. The guy's driving it with a horse. The thing is packed with people. Going down the road, and the horse steps in some kind of a hole or something. Break! And snaps its leg. You can hear it. And the horse is screaming and crying. Falls to the ground. Well, the guy can't do anything about it. You don't have guns back there. You got to find a policeman who'll come and shoot the horse. So he tells everybody, I'll be back. Goes off, finds a policeman. And while he's looking for a policeman, God speaks to Tom and says, pray for the horse. Okay. He went over and laid hands on the horse and snap, the leg went together. He stood up, shook itself, and now he had a crowd. People got around to hear, how did you do that? How did that happen? And he began to preach the gospel. It was the beginnings of opening the door. And it opened the door for Pentecost to come into South Africa. After he died, they didn't realize he was gone. They flew a contingency over, because he was in Long Beach with this friend of mine, and they brought a group of people over to meet with him. They wanted to talk. They were documenting all of these things that took place. Say favor.
Favor.
God spoke to Brother Tom. Hey, we got to get on with this, I know. Are you guys okay? God spoke to Brother Tom, and he said to him, I want you to go to this place, and I want you to preach to this people. Well, he didn't know who this place was or this people was. And so And so he says to people, I got to go somewhere. I got to preach this. And they said, well, you don't want to go there. Why do I want to go there? Because they're cannibals. You'll never come back. You don't want to go there. Well, I'm not going to. Nobody will go with you. Well, God told me to go. So they got him some kind of a dugout boat of some sort. They put some supplies in it. They said, you go down there, and there's a certain place. You'll see this big beach thingy. You pull off. You'll be there. We'll never see you again. Gets in the boat, paddles down the river, pulls off on the sand, gets out of the boat. He's unloading the boat. When out of the brush comes all these black faces, and he hears them talking. He thought, my word, they speak English. This is going to be easy. I can get the word. They weren't speaking English. The moment he put his foot on the shore, he gave them their language. You know, the Bible says, we'll speak with other tongues. That means tongues of men and of angels. And he had their tongue, Brother Shock said, to the day he died, he spoke that language. So they put him in a little hut. And the first night, nobody would talk to him after the first night. The second day, nobody wanted to talk to him. After the third night, the chief of the tribe comes to him and says, we want to talk to you. He says, sure. He said, well, we want to talk to you about the people you brought with you. He said, I didn't bring anybody with me. No, you brought people we know because we see him every night. He said, what are you talking about? He said, every night we come out, we're coming after you. But these people are standing all around your hut, and we can't get to you. He said, well, describe them. Well, they're about tall, and they got swords and spears, and they're glowing like it's on fire. He said, well, I'm glad you asked, because that's why I'm here. Told them about Christ, led them to the Lord. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and to this day, that's what broke cannibalism in that tribe. Isn't that amazing? Come on, it's favor. Say, I'm favored. Number three. Favor means to make easier. Now, I like this. I like them all, but this is good. I like it a little easier. The older I get, the easier it ought to be. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, and you'll compass them about with favor. Well, what is God saying? Well, I believe he's saying whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you embark upon, you got favor. God's going to make it easier. Now, I didn't say he'd take him away. He didn't say there'd be no problem. He just said it'd be easier. Now, listen to me. I walked through not knowing when I'm going to pay my bills. I wasn't sure when I was learning to sow seed, and that was hard. But I can tell you today, for almost 8 years now, I've not had that salary. It's not coming to me that way, but God sends it to me. Last week, went down to the mailbox before I left, $5,000 check in the mail. Come on, tell me how it works. A month ago, I went down there, $13,000 check. Say it again. What you sow, you reap. And month after month after month, God sets me up. God sets me up. I was in a church one time. I'm not asking for anything. You got to understand. I'm not. I'm not saying this because I want you to do it, because God does for me. Trust me. The pastor gave me a check in an envelope. We went out to dinner. We're sitting at dinner. He says, you know what? I'm having a hard time here. What? Did I say something? He said, give me your envelope. Give you a minute. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought maybe I offended him. He took the check out, ripped it up. He said to the guy that was with him, he said, you go and double that and bring that back to me right away. And give me twice as much as he thought he was going to. Favor. Come on. Hebrews 13:5. For God himself has said, I'll not any way fail you. I won't give you up. I won't leave you without support. I will not in any way leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down or even relax my hold on you. I promise you, I will not. Amen. Favor. Tell you another story. Brother Shock, the man who was a father to me, we were traveling, I think it was from D.C. into Virginia. I think it's where it was. He's probably about 80 years old at this time. He died at 86, or at least close to it. We're in this van. There's he and I, and there's a couple, three guys that are taking us just to spend some time. And we're going down the road, and he's telling these stories, and these guys are going, wow, wow, wow. Well, he tells this story. There's a young lady that he knew. She was a single mom, had a child about 8-10 years old, somewhere like that. And they were Christians, and as it was, she'd get up every morning, fix him a breakfast, he'd eat, and then she'd read a Bible story to him. And then he'd go out and play. Well, she picked up her Bible, and she read the story, and you'll recognize it, where Jesus said to Peter, go fishing, the first one you catch, got to have a coin in his mouth, pay our bills, let's get on with life. Right? And so he did, and there you are. He goes out and he plays, and he's playing until, you know, afternoon sometime, 1 or 2 o'clock, comes in and says, Mom, I'm hungry, what can I eat? She said, well, honey, what I didn't tell you is what you ate this morning was all we have in the house. We have no more. There's nothing I can do until there's a supply of some sort. I don't have any more. Oh, he said, that's okay. And he runs off to his room. Wait. And off he goes. He goes and gets his bank. He empties all these coins in his hand. He comes running down the stairs, heads for the front door. She said, where are you going? He said, I'll be back. Goes out in the street, down about a block, and there's a supermarket just about a block from the house. He walks in, goes to the back to the meat counter, and finds a fish laying in this meat counter. And he says to the man, he said, can I buy that fish? And the man says to him, well, son, how much money have you got? Well, and he drops all of his coins on the counter. He said, you don't have enough money to buy that fish. He said, well, you sell me the head? Okay, I'll sell you the head for that. Rakes his coins off the counter, cuts the head off the fish, turns around, wraps it up in a newspaper, hands it to him. He comes running home so excited. She said, where you been? He said, here, Mom. And hands him the newspaper, and of course, she's smelling fish now. She said, honey, it was only a story. I just read you a bite. No, you got to look. She lays it down. There's a fish head. Look in its mouth, Mom. Honey, it was only a story. You got to understand, only a story. And there's a little argument going on. Finally, she picks the head up and looks in, and there's no coin. Well, in his mind, there should be a coin in it. I mean, didn't you read that in the Bible? Well, you got to look again. She said, honey, please, it's only a story. And the second time, no coin. He's brokenhearted because there should have been a coin in that mouth. He heard it in the Bible. Runs off crying to his room, and she's now frustrated with God. Drops the fish on that newspaper, throws her head in her hands, and begins to cry out to God, this is not right. I'm a single mom. I'm doing the best to raise my boy. We've loved you. We've stayed in the church, but we're broke. And then she goes on with this list. I can't put shoes on my boy. I can't put clothes on him. I can't buy him the things he wants to eat. I don't even have a car to take him to where. I don't have anything. God's listening to him. No shoes, no clothes, no car, no money. And he's making a list of everything she's complaining about. Now listen to me. God listens when you're talking. And so a few minutes later, in her frustration and weeping, she takes a break, throws her head in her hands, and just crying. And when she opens her eyes, she looks down. When the fish head fell on the paper, the mouth opened up. And she looks through the mouth and sees her name in the newspaper. What? There's a phone number. Call this number. She grabs a phone. This is true. Calls this number, and it's a lawyer. And she said, well, it says a call. Are you so? Yes, I am. Well, let me ask you a few questions. Did you know la, 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 la? Yeah, I did know them. Did you live there? I did live there. Well, you know what? They never had kids. And they always liked you. And they're both gone. And they put you in their will. Everything they owned, you now own. Favor. And then this is what the lawyer says. Listen, you can put shoes on your boy. You can put clothes on him. You can buy a car, go anywhere you want, feed him whatever you want. Everything she was saying, God was taking notes. And Brother Shock, by this time, we're all weeping in the car. Even the driver. And he leans over and he says, the coin is still in the fish's mouth. It's called favor. Short of goodness and mercy will follow me. I'm sorry if you're broke, but there's favor in God. I'm sorry if you're struggling, but there's favor in God. I'm sorry even if you don't agree. I'm going to live in the blessing and the prosperity because there's favor in God. Amen?
Amen.
Number four. We got to hurry because I'm getting hungry. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, well, you and me both. And it shows, I know. Number four, favor means he will make provision for you with advantages. He'll make provision for you with advantages. You got to know that you're surrounded by God. You're on his calendar. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Adds no sorrow to it. The days come to favor his house. Come on, say, you're talking to me now. You're talking to me. Come on. I am favored. Advantages. Romans 8:31. If God be for me, who can be against me? You remember the story? Kings, I think it is, about the 6th, 7th chapter. Anyway, where Syria comes against Israel, and they surround Israel. They're going to overcome Israel. And let me go back a little bit. They came to do war against Israel, and they were setting up ambushes is what it was. But every time the king made a decision to set up an ambush and put it in a certain place, the prophet Elisha, in his house, is hearing what this guy's saying. And so every time he makes a plan, the prophet hears, goes to the king, says, don't go there. They're going to ambush you. He goes and checks out. Sure enough, they're there. And it didn't happen just once or twice, the Bible said. It happened over and over and over again. Well, the king of Syria is a little bit frustrated. And he goes to his men, which one of you is against me? Well, it's none of us, but there's a prophet in Israel. If you whisper in your bedchamber, he's going to hear. He says, I want to know where this guy's at. And so he lives in a little town called Dothan. So during the night, they come and they surround the town. Now, you got to hear this. So they're surrounding this town where Elisha and his servant is. The servant gets up in the morning to go out and meet the day, and he's in shock everywhere he looks. Soldiers, swords, chariots. It's everywhere he looks. Man, we're surrounded. And he comes in to say to Elijah, guess what? We're surrounded. And he gives him this whole story. Now, Elisha never went out one time to look because God is always telling him what was going on. He knew what was going on. But he said to his servant, he said, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he might see. Remember this story now?
Amen.
He went out the second time and took a second look. Now, the first time he looked, what did he see? What? He saw in the natural. He saw soldiers and armies, and they were surrounded. But the second time he looked, he saw in the supernatural. And he saw the angels and the armies of God that surrounded them. And the Bible said, there be more with us than be with them. Come on, it's called favor. You got more on you. Listen, the devil can't hate you any more than God can love you. Favor. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, Jesus. Many more stories. I'll skip all of those. Let's go to number five. Number five. We'll see if we can get down out of here in 5 minutes. All right, number five. Favor is granting special privileges. Come on, granting special privileges. I mean, do you want any of this stuff? I want this favor of my life. I want special privileges. The story of Daniel. The king's leaders see the grace that's on Daniel's life. Daniel's in captivity. He's in another nation. He's not where he wants to be. He's not home, but he's serving, and he's serving with a good heart. I've had people say to me, I hate my boss. I hate this job. I don't like being here. If I could just get out of here. Excuse me? Pardon me? Aren't you glad you're working? Aren't you glad you have a job? Daniel was in a strange place, but he served with integrity. Daniel 6, verses 1 through 3, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 leaders and to be over the whole kingdom, but over them he put three governors, and Daniel was one. This man had integrity. He had it going. He had favor. And so Daniel was a great leader. The Bible said that the king was just about to put Daniel over the three governors because he had such integrity. And Daniel would watch things and there'd be no loss. So the king suffered no loss because of Daniel. Daniel's a man of integrity. He's working hard in a foreign land. He's not in his own home. He's a man of prayer and he's faithful. So these guys get together. They don't like Daniel. They don't like the fact that he's blessed and everything happens good to him. And they come up with a plan. They go to the king and they said, make a royal decree that whoever shall petition any other god or any other man for the next 30 days, 1 month, just 1 month, except for you, King, we'll put him in the den of lions. That came out of jealousy. You can work with people that hate you. They're jealous over you. They don't like the fact you got a nicer home, a nicer car, or whatever. They don't like that. Sorry. Favor. Come on. And so out of jealousy, they make this decree. Now, here's the thing. Daniel, because he had character, did it no matter what. 3 times a day he prayed. And he was going to do it no matter what. And then you get down to the 18th verse. It said, now the king went to the... Now, they got Daniel. They're putting him in this den of lions. This is where he's at now. He's going to spend a night there. Now, the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting. He had no music that was brought before him. He couldn't even sleep. He's frustrated, did he? Because he knew it was a mistake. But he made a decree and he couldn't go back on his word. But Daniel all along has been, well, God will take care of me. God provides for my needs. God's a good God. God always does it. Well, here's your opportunity to prove it, Daniel. Here's your chance now. And down in the den of lions he goes. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. And he spoke, Daniel, Daniel. He's hurt. He's frustrated. He doesn't know what's going on. Daniel, servant of the living God. Listen, you serve him continually. Let me ask you, was he really able to deliver you out of the mouth of lions? I'm so glad that Daniel knew God. I'm glad he could hear the voice of God. I'm glad he had integrity. Even if he was destroyed, he was a man of integrity. And he responds, Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel to shut the mouth of these lions. They haven't hurt me. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how broke you are, but listen, it can't hurt you. You think it might, but it can't hurt you.
That's right.
Amen. I was found innocent before all of them and before you, O king. I've done no wrong before you. So the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel should be brought up out of that den. And Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury was found upon him because he believed his God. Well, the story doesn't end there. Now, remember, we're talking about having advantages, being blessed. Wherever you go, favor. I can only imagine spending a night with lions, hungry lions. They didn't feed them all the time until they wanted to kill somebody. Then they fed them. So he's down in his pit, and there's an angel with him. And the angel's saying to the lions, don't you open your mouth. Don't you take a bite. Don't you even sniff. I'm here. And I can just see Daniel scratching their little mane, maybe giving them names. And they're just purring. Nice lion, nice lion. Why? Well, maybe it didn't happen that way, but it could have. Isn't that right? What? Favor. So he's taken out of this den of lions. He's alive. God granted him special privileges. Sister Kitely. Did you know Sister Kitely? She pastored a church in Oakland, California, probably 6,000, 7,000 people now. She died a couple of years ago. I think it's a couple of years ago. Little grand old lady that had a prophetic mantle. I'm telling you. Anyway, she went into the store one time, pulled up this gas station, went into the store to get some stuff, and the store was being robbed, and she didn't know it. When she walked in, the guy was robbing the store and the people there. And he turned on and he pointed a gun in the face and says, give me all your money. She said, I will not. It's true. He said, I said, give me your money. She reached up and took him by the shirt, brought him down and said, and started speaking in tongues. And he dropped everything and he ran out of the store. Actually, he pulled the trigger, went click, and nothing went off. And he ran out of the store. He went down the street, robbed another store, and shot the clerk to death. Favor. Favor. That's when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor. And the guy that drove his car was in her church, this black guy that drove the car. And one day, she was with him, and here comes Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know. And says, so I want to talk to you a little bit. And they start talking, and she starts telling about Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, what God thought, what God. She says, he said to her, Mama, my mother was just like you. My mother told me those same things. Whether he ever made it or not, I don't know. And witnessed to him and blessed him because it's favor. You don't know where favor will take you. You don't know who you'll stand before. Daniel stood before a king. Let me give you this and we're done. So the king's ticked now. He's upset. He knows this was all a jealous act. Daniel 6:24, and the king gave command, and they brought those men that accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Now, Daniel has special privileges. These guys did not. Right? He was protected. They're not. And so they cast them, their kids, their wives, everything they own, cast them into the den of lions. And before they hit the floor, the Bible said the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones. Why? Because they didn't have special privileges. Are you with me? We'll stop here. We just got to stop. These are scriptures. These are true. These things really work because the Bible's for real. Brother Tom, I don't know where he was one time, but he was trying to get a crowd. He couldn't get anybody to gather. And he always wore this hat. And he had his Bible everywhere he went. So he needed a crowd. So he put his Bible on the ground. He put it under his hat. And he had a little string tied to the hat. And he started dragging that hat. And he yelled, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And people come around, what? And he picked up the hat, pulled up his Bible. He said, "It's alive." And began to preach to him right there in Long Beach. And gave him the word. Why? Because it's for real. It's alive. You plant, you reap. You sow, you get. Automatically. Say automatically. Listen to me. Dirt can't help itself. It can't. It can't argue with God. It has to work. I'm here to tell you, and I'm done with this, that not one word from God will fall to the ground unfulfilled. But everything he said will come to pass. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Well, it's good to meet you. Love you. God's grace on this house. Remember, you're on the calendar. Amen. Favor. Say favor.
Favor.
All right, Pastor. You better take her. I won't quit.